Radio 1180, WHAM.
Boy, they got to learn how to pronounce your name.
Yes, they do. Good afternoon and welcome to Sound Bites. I am Nick Francesco, and I am sitting here with Mr. Dave Enright. Steve Ray is shockingly late as usual, but he will be here shortly, and we will be taking your computer calls at Sound Bites, your computer user group of the air on WHAM 1180. The number, for those of you who are new to this, is 585 in area code, 222-1180. Toll-free choice one line is 800-295-1180 for those of you outside the 585 calling area. And, of course, if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's star 1180. So we'll be starting off with the news as usual and then taking your calls at those numbers. Dave.
Well, hey, Microsoft's into deep stuff again. Whitehall. It's a big government agency that's going to, or is threatening to drop Microsoft. I mean, they've got over 500,000 civil servants that are using the Microsoft products, and they're threatening to drop all the Microsoft products because they want to raise their licensing fee. And it could be anywhere from an average of 50 to 200%. I mean, how much money does a guy have to earn, you know, consider himself rich? Hello?
Exactly
he's
right.
He's just got to keep going for more. I mean, he's already locked it in with XP as far as preventing any folks duplicating the software or anything else.
Well, the problem, of course, is that Microsoft doesn't have any new lands to conquer.
Yeah.
If you can't grow, how do you keep yourself moving along? And what he has to do is charge something like this, because otherwise he's just not going to make any money.
And it's just like not only in one outstanding product, a lot of folks are wondering whether they'd even go to, is the Office XP.
Right.
They sit there and say, well, what new features are in it? I get clients all the time.
Well, what new features are in it that I need?
Exactly. You know, most folks, 95% of the folks out there are just doing word processing and spreadsheets.
That's exactly
right.
All
this other web design and all that is to a very small, selective group of folks. They don't need it.
Right, and the voice annotation stuff most people don't use. They play with it and then don't use it. So it'll be an interesting little fight for Microsoft. It's not that the products are bad. It's just that there's no real need to switch at this point. But for those of you who are on the Internet ever, whether you dial in or get have broadband or do anything else, there are a couple of virus problems that are coming along. One is, there's a security hole.
Yep.
In Zone Alarm, if you're one of the people, we recommend Zone Alarm. We think it's a great product.
Time. Yep.
But if you are one of the people who use it, there is a security hole in it. You can read all about it at their website. There's going to be a patch available. You'll see a notice when the patch becomes available at zonealarm.com. For those of you who are AOL customers, there's a new Trojan that comes to your email. It usually has a subject of "Hey you," and something called mine.exe with a file attached. So if you are running AOL, don't open anybody's attachments. If you are using Outlook or Outlook Express, I hope you're sitting down to hear this. There is virus.
No,
I know. Thank
Get
you.
Out. Really?
Dave, I know you're getting old now and you need to watch your heart, but this is true. It's called the bad trans virus, and it is an auto-running virus. All you have to do is open and read the email, and it will run. So if you're not running an antivirus program and you are running Outlook or Outlook Express, you should probably be shooting yourself right now.
I was going to say, that's one thing
trouble.
Our listeners will learn that are new to this audience for us. That's one thing we highly recommend folks doing literally daily, is scanning their systems, because right now there are 159,000 different viruses out there that can infect your machine, and they cause 90% of the problems right now.
That's exactly right. But we're going to go to the phones now at 222-1180 or 800-295-1180 or star 1180. And our first caller is Bruce from Henrietta.
Hey,
welcome, Bruce. What's your question? We knew you'd be first.
How did you guys know I'd be first?
We just knew it.
Well,
looking back at my call logs over the last year and a half, you're mostly first.
Well, thank you very much for the honor of being the first call for your Wham show.
Yes, thank you.
Steve probably went to State Street.
No, he's here.
He actually snuck in. We'll be reading his news item later.
All the traffic is blocked on Broad Street because there's something going on at the War Memorial, so I couldn't get through.
Oh, yeah. Or they're all just lined up to see us.
Sesame Street Live is on.
Oh, sunny day.
Yeah.
Excellent.
My grandson's there now.
Okay, go ahead, Bruce. What's your story?
Okay. I had a couple questions. In Computer Link magazine, they have a number of things, suggestions for gifts, and one is called Catch a Call. for people who use modems so that they can also receive faxes and telephone calls without losing their internet connection,
right,
their dial-up
right.
connection. And I was wondering if you have any familiarity with this as far as does it work as advertised, and how does it do that?
It's actually kind of neat. It uses the busy call forward feature of your telephone. So when you're on the internet with a dial-up modem using your phone line, if someone tries to call you, they get the phone is busy, so it forwards to another phone, which this service provides, where they then take a message and then basically instant message you on your computer screen that this person has just left you a message or is trying to call you. So it's actually a kind of neat service that relies on extra features of your phone.
I thought this was a little box that you attach in line. And
well, there are other things like that.
Yeah,
yes.
There's many different products.
But for that one, it depends on what you're using. For that one, you have those distinctive ring things.
Yes.
And call forward. And again, there's that busy pops over to a second line. So it's not just a matter of getting the box. You also have to have the phone company set up multiple lines and stuff like that.
That's where DSL and Roadrunner are becoming very popular.
There's an extra fee for those extra features, the distinctive ringing, the busy call forward, and in the end, you're usually better off with a second phone line or even better off with a higher speed access.
For the few bucks more, I mean, it's...
Right.
I mean, AOL and those that are going over your existing phone line are, what, 21 bucks a month. If you go to, like, DSL or one of those others, you're only talking 27. So it's only a few bucks more, and oh, by the way, you can get rid of the second phone line.
Or not have to buy it in the first place.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, well, now Steve's there. I can ask the Mac question, I hope.
There you go.
Okay, Steve, the other day I was over at a neighbor's house who has a G3 and was actually helping them with a camcorder problem, and they asked me if I knew how to make their DVD player work. Well, the first thing I did was verify their G3 according to the system profiler and Mac online specifications that they did have a DVD player in their machine, and they said, yeah, both sources. And then I said, well, okay, you have DVD playing software. Let's pop the DVD in and see what the problem was. Well, they didn't own any or have any DVDs for me to test it with, but it does work as a CD-ROM player. If everything seems to be working, what might be a problem that a DVD player in a G3 might not function?
Is the disc mounting at all, or is it not mounting and then the software doesn't see it?
They didn't tell me.
Okay.
I'm planning on going back with a DVD to test it, but I wanted to go back armed.
Yeah, if they didn't have a disc, they probably couldn't test that. If the disc isn't mounting, it's likely an extension problem.
Okay.
There are extensions for all the foreign files, anything other than an ordinary Mac CD. And then once the DVD mounts, the DVD player software has to recognize the disc is there. And some of the earlier versions of the Apple DVD player had trouble with virtual memory. If you had VM on, the DVD player wouldn't work. It would say you don't have a DVD drive even if you did. And then there's the problem that some, depending on what model of computer it is, some of them needed a hardware decoder on the video card to actually do the MPEG decoding for playing the DVD. Most of the more recent models use a software decoder that uses the power of the G4 processor to do all the decoding.
Right. Well, that's a lot more than I would have gone in before. So I really appreciate all that help, Steve. I hope it's real simple one, like, oh, you just need to have a new extension.
That could be, too. The almost better thing these days is when the DVDs first came out on computers, everyone was saying, well, why do I want to see it on a tiny computer screen? Buy one for my big TV. I've seen DVD players on sale this holiday season under $100.
Yeah.
And they still have a lot of features.
And they said, right.
Yep.
Yes. It's just amazing.
Okie doke.
Okay, well, congratulations with your show, guys.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate it. Okay, we've had our call from Bruce, so we can relax now. That's been the important thing.
That one's out of the way.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a few minutes with Soundbites, your computer user group of the air.
Great.
Okay, clearly, they're having way, way too much fun with that one. We're back. It's Sound Bites on WHAM 1180. And I'm Nick Francesco. I'm sitting here with Dave Enright and, shockingly, Mr. Steve Ray, who will read his news item because it directly relates to today's poll before we get back to the phone.
Right, yeah. This weekend marks the 10th anniversary of Apple's QuickTime technology. The QuickTime team finished up December 2nd, 1991, of their original release, and then it was officially rolled out at Macworld in January the following month. And as an interesting commemoration on that, Apple is reporting that the QuickTime 5 downloads are running about 300,000 a day, and they're on track to do 100 million QuickTime 5 downloads in its first year of release.
And I think we directly have to thank Lord of the Rings,
right,
Attack of the Clones, and Harry Potter.
And that's what most of the Apple execs are talking about, is that the QuickTime format is a higher quality at a larger size than the competing formats, so that companies like Lucas, who want to do Lord of the Rings or Star Wars, that was a faux pas, and Lord of the Rings and Monsters Inc. and all the other the bigger trailers come out in the QuickTime format, and they get a lot better quality. It's interesting that most of the downloads are Windows users downloading QuickTime 5,
right?
Because it comes with your Mac, so you might want an update what you have. But the majority of the downloading, 300,000 a day, are Windows users.
Cool. And that does relate directly to our poll. You can get to our poll fairly easy. Go to 1180WHAM.com. And then from there, you would go to the main page. And down in the lower right is the sound bites.
Lower left-hand side.
Yeah, the other right. The other right is the sound bites button. We'd like you to do that so that the folks at WHAM know how many of you are actually out there. We would love to have you do that at least the first time so they can see that. And then you'll get to our website and you can vote in the poll. In the meantime, we're going back to the phones at 222-1180 in the 585 area code. Outside it, it's 800-295-1180 or star 1180 for you Verizon wireless customers. Shouldn't I be talking like this now that we're on a commercial radio station? Our next caller. No. Our next caller is Alan from Farmington. Welcome, Alan. What's your question?
Hello. I got a little mystery here. I got AT&T as my internet provider.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot get on through AT&T. What I have to do is I have something, and I don't know where this comes from. I never knew it was even on my computer, but I have something called Internet Wizard.
Yeah, right.
And if I connect to Internet Wizard first and then back out, so to speak, or cancel the Internet Wizard, then the AT&T icon will work for me. But I can't use the AT&T first. You know why?
You should be able to in the Internet Wizard. Set it up. It'll do you a walkthrough that you can walk through and put the AT&T number in there.
Yeah, that's what the Internet Wizard does. It sets up your Internet connection. Once it's set up, you go to your dial-up networking folder and click on the AT&T icon that the Internet Wizard created. It's possible the AT&T icon that you're trying to click on is just their software installation program.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's not their actual Dial Me on the Internet Now button. That's in the dial-up networking folder.
Once you set, you may go in there and find you've got about three dozen of them set up by this point. So you only really need one. But what you do is, I assume you've done this step already, which is to go through the Internet Setup Wizard, and that will let you set up your connection. From then on, you only have to go into the dial-up network.
And you can go in, if you double-click on my computer, there's a dial-up network folder.
Yeah.
In there, you can see all those others that you've created. And you might want to get rid of, you know, the ones that you've created that aren't working.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a setting that's apparently turned off on your computer that when you launch Internet Explorer or another Internet program, it automatically dials for you. So apparently that piece is missing because it's not dialing when you want it to.
What is that called?
Connect automatically.
Yep.
So when you double-click on the dial-up connection in the dial-up folder, one of the buttons should be Connect Automatic.
Yeah, because it'll open up and it'll show you your username and if you've got your password in there and it's already grayed out because you've already checked, Save My Password. Just below that, there's another option button that you can click on that will then automatically, when you click on that, it won't show you that screen. It'll just go ahead and dial.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Okie doke. I'll try it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Our next caller on Sound Bites will be Jeff from Ontario. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to your new home, by the way.
Thank you so much.
And I have a 1.2 Athlon processor with 256 RAM, and I put in a DVD movie last night, and I get this icon that says playback failed due to the following reasons. One of the following reasons: audio device is not in use or is not installed, display overlay is not available, or not enough video memory.
This kind of goes back to what we were mentioning with an earlier caller. There's several pieces involved for watching DVDs on your computer. The DVD player is one of them. The MPEG decoding system, either a hardware card or software to decode the video. The DVD video player software, and then all of that has to be linked together.
But one very basic thing could be just his video settings.
Exactly.
I mean,
right.
If you're running, say, 640 by 480 and 256 colors, you might want to go into under the control panel, under your display, and up your settings to do maybe 800 by 600. And if you can do 32 million or 64 million colors, go for a higher resolution.
It could also be just the opposite. Your video could be set too high, and there's not enough video memory left to play the DVD.
Well, it's worked. I mean, a month ago it worked, and I haven't changed anything. So,
Some other software has.
You may not have, but something else apparently did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Okay, thank you.
Okie doke. Thank you very much. Our next caller on Soundbites is going to be Paul from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Yes, thank you very much. I think I may be the victim of the Outlook Express virus.
Okay, go ahead.
Running it on a G4 Mac, the address book is acting suddenly very strange. It won't save new addresses. Some of them are now listed out of alphabetical order. It won't find some addresses when I go to send an email. And some have mysteriously duplicated themselves or replicated themselves. So those are the four problems I'm suddenly beginning to notice. And I use this all day, every day. So it's, I'm pretty familiar with how to use it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're partially lucky that you're using a Mac. The vast majority of the Outlook viruses can't affect
partially
the Macintosh.
Partially Mac. Get over it.
Jesus.
There are a couple of Outlook viruses, and there's even an AppleScript virus that executes through Outlook.
Mm.
There's an option in Outlook to automatically add senders to your address book when you reply to a message.
Yes.
And if someone has a slightly different address, for example, they might have changed their internet provider or some other setting along the way, I've seen that happen to duplicate an address where there's something slightly different in either their address or the spelling of their name or whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and you can end up with duplicates there. But when you said you can't add a new address, what happens?
It won't allow me. I can type all the information into the box, and I add a lot of information, whatever's available, including the email address, of course, and then hit the save button. It won't save it.
Do you get an error message?
Get any message.
It closes without saving.
Just disappears.
There's a rebuild command. If you quit Outlook,
mm-hmm.
and I believe it's the Option key, when you launch Outlook, hold down the Option key,
mm-hmm.
and it will ask you if you want to rebuild your mail database.
Oh, really?
And that can help to fix some of the problems like this you get. One of the issues with Outlook is that it stores all of your mail in a single file,
mm-hmm.
and then all of your addresses in a single file.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible for that single file to get corrupted somewhere along the way.
But shouldn't, on the PC side, recommend something else than Outlook to use for your email, because that's how 95% of the viruses are being spread anyways.
Right, but 95% of those viruses can't work on a Macintosh, so
that's true.
You're fairly safe.
Well, he got one that did.
You can look at other programs like Eudora. I still use Claris Emailer because I haven't been able to give it up yet. but there are other Outlook or other email programs you could look into, and you can use them simultaneously for a while until you find what you like.
Do you suspect this might be a virus problem?
Not really. The Apple
script, more likely
file corruption. Most of the viruses would email themselves to everyone in your address book rather than actually messing with the book itself.
So you think it's perhaps corrupted somehow?
Yeah, that's most likely in this particular case.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
thank you for your help.
Thank you so much. Our next caller is Ken from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Ken. What's your question?
Well, I have a very simple warm-up question and then one that I hope I'm talking to the right fellas on. I have a compact Presario, and it came with 64 meg. This is a year old. Came with 64 meg of RAM.
Yep.
It's a 750 Duron. And I added another 128 a little while ago. Worked just fine. And then...
tell you what, Ken, if you can hold on 1 minute, we've got to go to a commercial break. We'll come right back to you.
Okay, thank you.
You'll be seeing us in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on WHAM 1180. Francesco, With me, Dave Enright and Steve Ray. We're taking your calls here at Soundbites. Ken is on the line with his Presario 64 mag, 750 Duron, added 128 mag. Go for it,
Ken. And your problem is?
Well, I guess I should have distilled it down. Difference between PC 100 and PC 133. I'm not really having a great deal of difficulty, but I put in another 256 of the PC 133.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what was in there initially.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not having a lot of trouble, but Compaq is I guess, saying...
They won't support it unless you buy their particular memory.
Right.
Not just the certain speed, their particular...
Yeah, they want to sell you their brand, and oh, guess what? The price is going to be more.
Yeah, absolutely. But the question, is there a difference in my machine if I happen to be having these different types?
No.
If I do, cohabitate.
Most of your systems, right from the, you know, the 300s and on up, most of the motherboards out there can handle the 133s.
Oh, great.
They'll step down.
Great.
Even if you have a PC 100, say 64 meg DIMM in there,
yes,
and you go ahead and buy a 256 133, you can still put it in there, and the board is smart enough to say, okay, well then this has got to step down to PC 100.
Well, thank you for that. Now I do have a what I'm having trouble with, even with their customer support.
Yeah.
I'm trying to use their system recovery disk.
Yeah.
To do a user backup. I hate the sound of that.
Yeah.
And I cannot do a user backup. I had one that did not work well the first time,
mm-hmm.
and since then it takes me to what looks like it's going to be a restore.
You don't want to do a restore, because if you do a restore, then you lose everything that's on your machine, and it's right back to the way it was the day you bought it.
Ken, do you have like a burner on that machine or a zip drive?
Yes.
What I recommend doing is, if this machine gets messed up anyways, what you're going to want to do is just restore the whole thing anyways. But the critical things are your documents, your bookmarks, anything else that you've created on it.
Any programs you put on, you should still have the original disks. Or if you downloaded them from the internet, then you put those on the CD as well, the original download zip.
I have those. Oh, okay. But I don't have a zip drive. I do have the...
Just burn them.
Burn them.
Burn them to a CD. CDs have gotten so cheap. Just burn all your important stuff off to a CD, you know, periodically, and then this way, you know, if something crashes, you just say, oh, well, wipe it out. You know, you use that restore CD, and then just put copy back off the CD, the programs that you've backed up.
Yeah, that's the easiest and safest thing to do.
All right, so my fanaticism for thinking the computer ought to be able to do this, and it's not...
Well, it should be able to do it, but you can get around it.
Okay.
And you can actually buy better programs to do backup. Mm-hmm. Automatically,
okay.
So you don't have to drag everything manually.
All right.
Right.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much. We're going to continue with Sound Bites. Our next caller is Eric from Rochester. Welcome, Eric. What's your question?
Hi. My question really is to do with basic product. I was looking for an answering machine, and I based my search on an old one I had that ran on DOS, which was wonderful. It had 99 mailboxes, and it really worked well. I run an apartment rental business, and it was a great machine. It was a great answering machine. It was a card that sat in the PC, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I'm now in a Windows environment, and I got to tell you, I went to a couple of our local suppliers, and what they gave me was garbage. I ended up taking most of it back. Is there anything that you know of that operates in a Windows environment that would...
Why did you... you just had to upgrade the machine because you wanted to do other things?
Yeah.
What you might want to consider doing, and this will get you out of it real cheap, is have two PCs. In other words, you get an older machine, you can pick up 386 and 486s for, for literally nothing, mm-hmm. and you keep that software on that old machine. And then you have a second machine right next to it doing your other web surfing, documentation, and everything else.
That's certainly a possibility.
But there are a couple that you can get. One is called the Internet Answering Machine. You can get that from CallWave, and that's free.
Hmm.
So if I believe it's CallWave.com. Hold on a second. Oh, you can hear me typing.
Whoo!
Is that cool or what? CallWave.com, CallWave.com, and you get something called the Internet Answering Machine. I don't know how many.
Need four or five mailboxes.
I don't know how many you get. You'd have to take a look at the software and see if it does what you need it to do. But It certainly seems to work.
The other thing you can look at from one of the services Frontier offers is a family voicemail that gives you four mailboxes for like $6 a month. So you basically don't have it on your computer at all and let their big computer handle it all.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about crashing.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much.
There you go. Thank you very much. We're taking your calls on Soundbite, your computer users group of the air at 222-1180 in the 585 area code. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's 295-1180. 800 is, the number you dial first. And then if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's *1180. Our next caller is David from Rochester. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Well, I have a comment, and congratulations, guys, for
Thank you so much.
Over to WHAM. Hi, Steve.
Howdy.
I just want to plug, I don't know if you guys have mentioned it on the air, but Wegmans at Eastway on Empire Boulevard has online shopping now.
Yeah.
Yep, do all your shopping on the internet and then drive there and they'll load it in your car.
Yep. It's great.
It's pretty
great.
Neat stuff. There are lots of places around that are doing it. Bruce Cost over at Parkley's been like one of the earliest guys I know of ever to sell things on the internet. Rochester's a big buy it on the internet kind of town. Yeah, thanks, yeah.
Yeah, they have a pilot going on and they're accepting new people for the pilot. It's $8. And you order and tell them what time you want to pick it up and
drive up and they drop it in your car.
Yeah. Well, it was 60 minutes, is now 6 minutes.
You got it.
Well, unless you spend too much time virtually strolling through the aisles, and it still takes you too
long. Yeah, but you can't get all the free samples.
But the cool thing is that you can save personal lists of all your groceries. I mean, most people, if you think about it, buy the same thing every week.
Yep, that's true.
And so you save those lists, and next week, this is the first week we tried it, and next week we'll load our weekly list up, and then we'll click on whatever else we need, and good to go.
It's very cool, isn't it?
Very cool.
It's a very neat idea. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Give us a call at 222-1180, and we are going to be talking next to Jeff from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Hi. I was very surprised to be turning on the radio, getting ready to listen to sound bites at 1 o'clock, and figured I must be on the wrong channel. It's already on.
There you go. And you were on the wrong channel.
Right. I wanted to ask Steve a question about the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And I just purchased it and upgraded iTunes to 2.02, I think.
Right.
And when I plugged the iPod into the FireWire, I don't get any recognition on the iTunes faceplate for the input devices or whatever.
Right.
Where it lists the different devices that are like the library and the CD and the radio.
Right, the list on the left.
Right, and it just doesn't... But when I look in the brochure that came with the iPod, my faceplate for the iTunes doesn't look quite the same because there's buttons down on the lower right that one of them is the iPod button.
Did you delete the old version of iTunes or did you just install the new one?
I think I just installed the new one.
It sounds like you're still running the old version of iTunes.
When I click on that icon for the iTunes and then I go to get info, it says 2.02. on the one that I'm using.
Okay. It might be the extension then. There's an iTunes extension that basically lets the iTunes see the iPod. That might still be the old version.
Okay. The other thing I have is I have Roxio Toast Lite on there, and it says to load iTunes with the Roxio Toast Lite, you're supposed to turn off the two authoring extensions, one for FireWire and one for iTunes.
Yeah, whatever the other one is.
Yeah.
There's also an update for Toast 502 that addresses some of the authoring issues. What you might want to do is delete all the iTunes extensions, delete iTunes itself, and maybe even remove those Xeroxio extensions, and then do a clean install of the 202 off the iPod itself because it comes with the right version.
Okay, we have to take a quick break because we are going to go check the world news. Yes, there's a real world outside computers, and you're about to hear about it, but we'll be back in just a few minutes with Sound Bites, your computer users group of the air. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco on 1180 WHAM. back. Yes, indeed, we are here at Soundbites. And before we get back to the phones, which you just heard the numbers, we're going to take a look at the polls. Last, at our poll, at our website, soundbites.org, you can vote on a poll. We have one every week. This last week, the question was, would you pay for web content? And the overwhelming majority, 2-1, why pay for the cow when the milk is free? That was 67% of the voters. So only 33% of you said yes for the right content at the right price. So most of you would, for two-thirds of you, would prefer to have your web content free. We'd like to thank the 162 of you who voted in last week's poll. That was a nice number. But we have a brand new poll this week, and the question is, relates directly to QuickTime's having more people downloaded per hour than there are on the internet. So it's the question is, what's your favorite streaming media client?
We should tell the folks that are new to the show how to get to our website.
Our website is at
WHAM1180.com, and over on the lower left-hand corner is the Soundbites logo. Click on that, and you can get to our poll.
And our poll is there. You only get to vote once, so if you're a dial-up customer, somebody may have voted ahead of you, but it's usually not the case. And this week's choices were pretty interesting. We have QuickTime, we have Real Player, we have the Windows Media Player, we have Other, for those of you on Linux, and a couple of other things. And the choice, which is winning so far, Whatever It Takes. We currently have 58 votes in the poll.
Whoa.
And Whatever It Takes is winning with 38% of the vote. So give us a quick vote at our poll. We'd love to know what you use for a streaming media client. On the other hand, we're going to get right back to the phones right now.
Well, I was going to mention that...
raise your hand and you may get in.
Well, yeah. QuickTime 4 has been chosen as the standard for the MPEG 4 compression. MPEG 1 was I'm not going to remember all the differences.
It doesn't matter.
None of them are very good for internet web or internet media content because of the bandwidth utilization. MPEG 2 is for DVD, which is huge content. So QuickTime is going to be the MPEG 4 standard that's going to be released shortly. So a lot of the other companies are starting to build QuickTime into their devices.
They'll pretty much have to since it's the standard now.
There's 120 digital cameras that come with QuickTime as their default media format as well.
Right. So give us a vote. We would love to have that vote. And give us a call at 222-1180 in the 585 area code, 800-295-1180 outside the 585 area code. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's star 1180. So Richard from Rochester on the line, patiently waiting. Thank you, Richard. What's your question?
Okay. I bought a hot fax program for my computer. And the problem I'm having is that I cannot find the part in the program where you can turn it off to use my other modem, because I use one modem on the computer.
Mm-hmm. That's
and,
When you run it, do you get a little icon in the lower right-hand corner next to the clock? There should be a bunch of...
Yeah, there's...
Yes, I do, and I've clicked onto those before, and I've not been able to get this thing off.
If you right-click on it, you should come up with a menu, and one of the choices on that menu should be Exit.
Oh, all right.
One of the other things
that should do it.
One of the other things you might consider on doing is, if you don't use that program a lot, you know, if you're only using it occasionally, you might want to totally eliminate it. If you go to the start, run, and type msconfig, hit enter, you'll be brought up a menu. The very last tab over on the right-hand side is startup. If you open that up, you will see one of those, that program that's being loaded in your toolbar in that menu. Uncheck it. This way, now when you start up the machine, it won't automatically load it for you.
I've tried that. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's probably loading somewhere else, too.
It could be in the startup group, and there could be a couple entries.
Yep.
For it, because one, usually you have to load the driver for that particular card.
Particularly if you're in a DOS-based version of Windows, it'll be in the auto.
And then there's going to be another entry for the actual program.
Right.
The other thing you can do is inside the program, there should be a setting for an answer on, or how many rings to answer on. If you set that to never, then it won't answer until you tell it to, and therefore it should also free up your serial port.
That never came up. All I did when that comes... On the program that this is, it comes up with a picture of a phone. And you either go phone or fax.
Somewhere there should be a setup command or settings command where you can tell it how many rings to answer on. You can set that to either zero or never, depending on how their wording is.
And all of that should be in the manual. But until you find that, at the very least, you should be able to right-click on that little icon in the lower right-hand corner and turn it off. Exit.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Richard. Our next caller is Dan from Rochester. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
I have a HP DeskJet printer, model 855C, and I disconnected it a couple weeks ago. I was having trouble printing to it. It wouldn't print at all. So I borrowed my daughter's printer, it was an HP 900 something, and used that for, loaded the driver for that, and used that for a couple weeks. And I said, oh, for the heck of it, I'll go back to the 855. So I reconnected the 855 to my system and went into settings and made sure it was the default printer.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's printing normally, but it has a, before it prints the pages I want to print or documents, it prints a header page and a footer page with error messages on it. And I'm trying to figure out how I could stop that to save myself a lot of paper.
Yeah.
What are the error messages?
There are two lines that are printed on the top of the page. The first line says at PJL space job space name space equals. And then it has double quotes and a row of about 20 characters mixed numeric and letters.
When you rehooked up your old printer, mm-hmm. did you uninstall your old your daughter's printer? Because see, when HP installs, it puts in a lot of drivers. There are a lot of common drivers that will work from HP DeskJet to HP DeskJet, but you should unload the old printer. And you'd have to go to Add Remove Programs, and you'll see it, HP DeskJet 9, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to remove that.
In fact, at this point, you might be better off removing them both and then downloading a fresh copy for your specific model.
From the HP website.
Right, and then letting the system rediscover your printer and then install mm-hmm. that new one. The real problem is that HP software tends to take over the system. And when it does that, you end up with, it works nicely because, you know, it takes care of all the cute features that you get with the printer. But if you have a printer with those features and then a printer without, then you hook up that old printer, and it may be that the newer software is looking for those features, not finding them, and then giving you error messages.
It's almost if they assume you're only going to have one printer, and a lot of people have more than now.
Yeah.
Right. HP has a little problem. It doesn't play well with others.
Even if you have two HP printers, it messes up sometimes.
Okie doke.
Very good.
Thanks
for your help.
Thank you very much. We've got a couple of minutes, so we ought to be able to get in another call. Bob from Rochester. Welcome, Bob. What's your question? Bob?
Oh, hi.
Hi there.
Yeah, Bob from Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Sorry, Bob.
First of all, congratulations on the change.
Thank you so much.
But there is one negative to it.
Which is?
It's going to take us more time to get through to you because you're expanded listener base.
I realize that, but we are giving you more show.
Yeah, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's actually longer. Even with the commercial breaks, let's get that out right now.
Yeah,
even with the commercial breaks, it's way more show. So there
well,
he is.
You can't both the commercial breaks and the number of times you were taken over for begging.
Let's not go there. What's your question, Bob?
Okay. It's not a question, it's a comment, which I thought of when you recommended that the caller get one of the old computers to run his old programs on.
Yep.
Twice in the last 8 years, I've had major crashes, and twice, although I back up religiously every night automatically, my tape drive failed during those backups.
Yep.
And so I switched using an old computer, networked to the main one, and use a scheduler to copy the important files over to the other one. It's unlikely that both of them crash at the same time, and it's very cheap.
Yeah, that is a great way to do it. It really is.
And I just haven't heard anybody talk about it. So
it's a great way to do it. If you've got multiple machines, you should be, and they're networked together. You can copy files back and forth. You can do it with a program or do it yourself.
That's right.
Thank you so much. We are going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in just a very few minutes here on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. We are back, and we will be talking next to Frank from Rochester. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
Hi. I have a problem getting service on my computer. I bought a... Can I say where I bought this? I bought this iMac. I got a one-year... I got a four-year extended warranty. My first year, where I was covered by the Apple brand, that died on me on the 10th of this of November.
Right.
And my computer modem died on me after that. I've been calling up this place trying to get that. They won't even answer my phone calls. I don't know what to do.
Well, you have a couple of choices here, Frank. Your first choice, if you can't manage to go down and visit, are they a local dealer?
Yes, it was a local deal. I bought at a local company. I took it in there. They said I had to contact them, this service contract company.
Right. It sounds like you didn't buy the Apple extended warranty. You got
a
third-party warranty.
If I had bought that, I'd be okay right now.
Yes, you would.
I bought one from, if I could say, a company.
Well, we'd rather not. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you have a couple of choices. My first suggestion is if you cannot get them on the phone, you get your lawyer to call them. If you cannot get your lawyer to call them, then you have your lawyer send them a registered letter. Your lawyer will know how to do all of that. Sometimes, unfortunately, that's what it takes. It may end up being a misunderstanding, but if you cannot get through to them, this is the best thing to do.
Well, one thing he might want to do that, which his lawyer will probably tell him to do, is send a registered letter. You do up a letter explaining your problems,
okay,
that you've called them a number of times, and send a certified return receipt letter. This
okay.
way...
I know how to do that.
Okay, this way...
Let your lawyer do it.
Well, no, he can go ahead and...
Well, but the sooner you get your lawyer involved, the better off you're going
to
be.
I can tell you right now, though, the lawyer's going to tell him to go ahead and do that.
Probably.
Now, when he comes back to his lawyer, the lawyer's going to say, okay, now we can go ahead and proceed, and I can go ahead and intervene.
Is it just that their phone number's busy, or is it ring with no answer?
The person I've been contacting is very slow to get back to me. I called her every day, practically every day. I said, what the heck is going on? She wanted to know my model number. I gave her that. Then she said they didn't have any LL in there, and I said, I don't know what this is. So I called up the company locally who has been servicing my computer. They called her up. They left her a message. That was 2 days ago. I'm without my modem. I've been without my modem for over 2 weeks. I hate that.
Yeah, you really send that registered return receipt requested letter. Once you've done that, and if there's still no response, get your lawyer involved. You'll get response real fast.
So I send it to a company?
Send it to the company and the person that you've been dealing with.
The service company.
The service company.
Yeah, not the folks who sold you the computer, because they're probably out of it by now if you bought a third-party repair thing. So you need to go to them.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, Frank. That's the kind of thing we hate to hear about.
Yes.
Our next caller is Paul from Spencerport. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Actually, Nick, I don't have a question.
Okay, thanks for calling. No.
Really. One of your previous callers was calling about probably was having an answering machine.
See, this is my favorite part of the show, when other people call up with answers.
Yeah.
Because we'll just have a big switchboard and we'll connect you all to each other.
There you go.
That's what
we should. There's a company, I'm not sure what he's tried, but there's a company called Smith Micro, which makes a product. They make several products, but they make one called Hot Fax Message Center.
Actually, we should have thought of that, because two calls
and
later, someone called about that.
Somebody called with Hot Fax, exactly.
Yeah, I've used that with Windows for a number of years.
And you're satisfied with it?
It works real well. I mean, it's got tons of mailboxes, and it has fax back capabilities, and I mean, really more stuff than the average user would probably want.
There's also one called Clearphone, Clearphone's the company. Megaphone is the product for telephone answering machines.
Yeah.
And Smith Micro is at, of course, SmithMicro.com.
SmithMicro.com, they have several products on the website and real good explanation of what they do, but the one I use is this Hot Fax Message Center, and as I said, I've used it for a number of years with Windows 98, and it works real well.
Thanks so much, Paul. So, Eric, if you're still listening, This is your answer for your answering machine. Our next caller, Carl from Manchester. Whoa, welcome, Carl.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, my wife gave me an early Christmas present, the Microsoft Train Simulator game.
Oh.
You must have been a good boy.
Oh, yes. It downloaded, I guess, anyhow, it loaded onto the computer okay, but it won't open. My normal VGA is 800 by 600. As soon as I hit the play button, it drops to 640 by 400.
Okay, one thing, though, what type of machine do you have?
I got a Pentium 2 with 333 megahertz.
All right, now what are the requirements for the game, though?
Don't know.
Usually on the side of the box,
in very small print,
on the side or on the bottom are usually the minimum requirements for that particular game. A lot of folks get, you know, disheartened that, well, it says it runs on Windows.
Oh, okay. It says Pentium 2 with 266 megahertz or equivalent.
All right, so you're okay there.
How much RAM does it need?
I don't know, but I got 192. It says 32 megs of RAM.
Now, the other big question is, what video does it need?
Well, it says DirectX 7 or later compatible.
That may be your problem. What version of Windows are you running?
A 98 SE.
Have you ever run the Microsoft updates? Doesn't sound like
it. Yeah.
Okay, what you need to do is fire up Internet Explorer. Go to the...
Start.
Well, yes, you can do it that way, too. I was going to say you go to the Tools menu and just select Windows Update.
Yep.
That will take you to the update page. The first time you go there, it will ask to install a little piece of software. Say yes. And what that does then is search your machine to see what you need to update to the latest of everything.
And the first one is going to be the critical update because it forces you to do that
separately.
Doing anything else.
Right. So do the critical updates first, and you're not allowed to update anything else at the same time.
So you have to go back a couple of times until it says you don't need updating.
Right. Once you've done the critical updates, then you'll see a list of I guess, optional updates, one of which is, I'm sure, DirectX, because you're probably on 5 or even 6. And you need at least 7, so that may well be your problem right there.
Oh, okay, because I was on here the other night, and it said something about I could download DirectX 7, but it was like an hour and a half or something like that, so I didn't bother
with it. Well, that's the other part of the problem, particularly if you've never updated your system before. There are going to be a lot of critical updates and a lot of optional updates that you may or may not want. And that's a real problem when you're on a modem. But I don't really know of any way around it unless you've got a friend. Well, you're going to want the critical updates anyway, so just, you know, buck up.
I just had this thing supposedly all serviced and tuned up.
Well, they may not have done that part, though. So
no,
definitely go do the critical updates.
On the other side of the coin, if this game requires DirectX 7, you'd think it would come with it.
Well, you would think so, but that's particularly from Microsoft, but apparently not. Well, you might want to look on the disk. You might want to check the manual. There may be an addendum or a part of the manual that will tell you what it is you need and don't need and what additional software is on the CD.
But he still wants to definitely at least do the critical update for Windows.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. But you may find that DirectX is on the CD. Okie doke.
Now, if all else fails and that don't work, then where do I go?
Well, it won't fail when you get on the net and do the download, but it will take a long time. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But that's the play. That's your final offer right there.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. We're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in just a few minutes. So really, don't go anywhere. Maybe go grab a Jolt or a Code Red, but then come on right back for Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. All right, who wrote those breaks? We need to have some words with somebody. Before we get back to the phones, we want to let you know that on our website at soundbites.org, which you can get to either directly or we would love to have you go through the WHAM website at WHAM1180.com. Go down to the lower left and you'll see the Sound Bites button. We're the ones without a picture? And
well, to change that.
So they'd have to be really tiny.
That's right, or just no words, just the three of us. You can get to our website, and at the lower, so about the middle of the page on the right, you'll see a link to the websites that we've mentioned on the show. And the first one of the day so far is the Hot Facts Message Center, so you can go there and get that. But we're going to go back to the phones now, and our next caller, Ken from Fairport. Welcome, Ken. What's your question?
Hi. First, I want to say hi to Nick, and without breaking our secret oath of jury duty, I was on jury duty with you this summer.
Yeah, excellent. And didn't we have fun?
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Wait a minute.
Who cares about justice? You just have fun.
Yeah, right? It was fun.
Glad I wasn't being tried.
Well, you guys are having fun.
An interesting case. But, it was. Thank you, Ken. I remember you well.
Okay. Well, here's what I wish I would have called you guys about 2 weeks ago before I went out and spent some money on my computer.
Uh-uh.
But I have an Intel 400, and I went and bought two more SIMs, so I'm up to 384 in RAM. Then I bought, I'm into digital photography, so I gobbled up my 10-gig hard drive and added a 40, and also then a CD writer so I can store these.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm running, the thing I didn't do is the operating system, so I'm on Windows 98, and about a year ago I bought the Windows Update, I think version 2 of
Second edition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm getting all sorts of weird errors. I mean, there's a lot of stray files. My kids load, you know, CDs off the cereal box, and you get some clutter there.
Right.
So I'm not real happy, and I want to know, what would you recommend in terms of remedying that? Should I dump 98 and go to XP?
Well, one thing you can do is a lot of folks make the mistake of just deleting the program. Mm-hmm. There, you know, with Windows, you got to go into the control panel and do the add remove.
The add remove, right.
And that will get rid of some of it.
Yeah.
Most of it.
There's still some.
No, you'd be surprised what's hiding in the registry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I recommend a program called Easy Clean.
Easy Clean, okay.
Yeah, you can go to Google, and there's a great product, Easy Clean, that you can install. It helps you do cleaning out the registry safely.
Mm-hmm.
It looks for duplicate files. It looks for junk files. Okay. It looks for files that are no longer necessary. If you run that periodically, you know, you'll be in great shape.
I think that's already on our website list, too.
I was just going to look at that list.
Is that something I can...
If you have problems getting it, go to wham1180.com, go over onto the lower left-hand corner, click on our webpage, and you can email me, Dave at soundbites.org, and I can also email it back to you.
The program?
Yep.
So it's shareware, then?
Yeah.
Kind of. But if I'm doing a lot of digital, you know, I have a digital camera and I'm moving images, is XP that much better, or is 98 version 2 sufficient?
Well,
hard to say, but Microsoft would lead you to believe.
Yeah, of course.
You actually have a fairly minimum system for running XP. I hate to say that, but it's true.
I'd stay with the SE.
An Intel 400 is just at the very bottom end of what will run XP well.
Okay, so I should stay with 98.
Yes. Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
All right,
and
guys,
actually get yourself a new XP machine for your digital photography, and then the kids can screw up their own machine whatever they want.
There you go.
That's a way to do it, and then you can network them together.
Can I put that on my Christmas list?
Go right ahead. Tell Santa I said.
All right.
Okay?
And this is the time to buy,
Ken,
because prices right now have gone, you know, to the basement.
That's exactly right. Our next caller is Lee from Henrietta. Welcome, Lee.
Hi. How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Hey, I'm using Linux Red Hat 7.1.
Yeah.
The problem I have is in Netscape. If I go in and I start searching on the web, I'm good for like a half hour, and then all it does is load blank pages. If I go to my system info and memory info, my memory's all used up, and it's not swapping anything over to the swap space.
Yeah, you have two choices here. Actually, several choices. Are you using GNOME or are you using KDE?
No.
Okay. Then your best bet, I think, is to go to Opera. Opera.something.
It's on our webpage.
It's on our web. That is on our webpage.
Okay.
And if you go to Opera, I think it's opera.com, but you can find it on our website. There's a link there. And Opera is a free or pay. If you download it for free, you get some ads in the corner, but they're unobtrusive and not painful. It's the fastest, most compliant, coolest, niftiest browser on earth. And you can download it and run it. It's grotesquely fast, and I've never had it in rock solid.
Cool.
Cool.
One other question.
Sure.
The QuickTime doesn't work on Linux, is that right?
Not yet.
Okay. But since they have a version for OS X, which is based on the same mock kernel that Linux is, I'm actually quite surprised that no Linux guy has recoded it yet.
Well, it would have to be in the public domain in order for them to do that.
QuickTime itself isn't, but
right.
You could probably do something similar.
Right, and I'm sure somebody's working on it, but it's not there yet.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Our next caller is Gene from Gananda. Welcome, Gene.
Thank you very much. I really need your help a little bit on this. I'm visually impaired, and several of us that are visually impaired, that we run computers, also
right.
work very, very successful
mm-hmm.
in the industry. And my biggest problem is trying to find out why so many, what causes the crashes so much with different programs? Like we use WindowEyes
or you use JAWS,
Open Book.
I'm familiar with all.
You know, we're having problems with that because as far as working along in different areas, it creates that agonizing problem with every time it's crashing on us. You
the
know,
real, yeah. the real problem comes in. This gets semi-technical. But what happens is it's called memory leak. Whenever you open a window or grab a resource of any kind, that is to say an area of memory to work with,
mm-hmm.
that area is set aside as far as the operating system is concerned, so nothing else can use it, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't just for adaptive or assistive programs. This is
it's
any program
everything.
In general.
Okay. What's supposed to happen is that the when you release that memory, it's supposed to be given back. Sometimes it is not. And sometimes, even when it's still being used, those pointers get confused with each other. This has directly to do, I hate to say this, with Microsoft's C programming environment.
Mm.
They've never fixed this and never gotten it right. Consequently, what happens is what's called memory leak. There are you run out of memory because it's gotten fragmented, or two programs are pointing to the same area of memory or whatever, and consequently you have this problem.
And especially with JAWS, I mean...
Because it pulls and releases resources all over the place.
Oh, I've been dealing with JAWS now for over, 8-9 years.
Right.
And setting up systems and that for the visually impaired. And that is a big, it's a big resource because, JAWS is always trying to keep track and keep you informed of what's going on in the screen while it's also trying to do things.
I know, because JAWS works good in several cases, but when you combine
what version
Window
of
Eyes and Dragon, it Dragon and
yeah.
Window
See, they
Eyes
all take up
perfect.
Huge amounts of memory.
I've had problems with JAWS working successfully, time after time with Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often you have to shut down JAWS,
yes.
disable that, and then put Dragon Speak in there.
Mm-hmm.
What version of Windows are you using?
I'm using 4.
What version of JAWS?
I don't understand.
There's what version JAWS? What version of are you on for JAWS? 3, what is it?
That's 3.7, but I'm on 4.0.
Okay.
4.0.
Right.
The thing of it is that... I have a friend that has a problem with his right arm, so he's using Dragon and WindowEyes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, and has recently installed another provider with cable in Buffalo. I forgot what they call it, Linux, or not Linux.
Right, but that's okay.
Then he had a problem with that. Then he put in AOL, and now it's crashing.
Constantly. Here's
yep.
part of the problem, Gene. Windows, any version of Windows that's based on DOS has a real problem with resources.
Okay.
The versions that are based on NT have less of a problem. So if you can run either NT 2000 or XP... then you will be better off. Not 100%, but
mm-hmm.
better off. The first thing you have to do is make sure that all the programs you want run under one of those operating systems. Check that first. If you can find that out and then get them to run, you're running. But we got to take a quick break now, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Sound Bites on Wham 1180. And, of course, those phone numbers are on our website at soundbites.org. We're talking to Ron from Henrietta. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
My question is... I have two problems, actually. One is, I've heard the conversation earlier today about viruses, and I should have a virus detector.
Yes, you should.
What do you recommend? I've never had a problem that I know of.
McAfee or Norton?
I have, Norton.
Yeah, those are the two big choices.
Yes.
A lot of times you can get bundles with antivirus, Disk Utility, Firewall. Both Symantec and McAfee have different bundles, too.
Okay. So when I install something like that, it's going to go in and detect any viruses that I have any
here's
already?
Here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
once you get this new product,
right,
the first step you got to do is go up to the web and update the DAT files. Because that program, you don't know how long has been sitting on the shelf.
Oh.
Well, the first thing is, if you're getting Norton, I believe that one comes with one of those magic bullet type disks where you boot it and do a boot right from the floppy disk,
right,
and do a check of your system, because the problem is, if you've never run one, you may have a virus and not know it.
Right.
And if the system is running, it may take over and hide itself. So if you boot from that floppy, mm-hmm, and run an antivirus program in very thorough mode against all of the files on your disks,
right,
then that'll clean them out for the first shot. Then you install it, then you update it, and then you make sure it both runs and updates every day.
Okay. Second problem is, I have a telephone hooked up to my printer. In fact, let me go through the scenario. From the wall jack, I go to a Surge Master.
Mm-hmm.
From Surge Master, I go to a printer.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the printer, I have a phone line going to my phone next to my desk here. And then another line goes over to the CPU. And I'm talking to you now on a cordless, and I'm going to pick up my telephone next to my computer and notice the static, just so you can hear it.
I bet you do have of static. We don't need to hear it.
Okay. Yeah, we can guarantee it.
I'll guarantee you've got static.
With that much length.
There's an issue called the ringer equivalence, that the phone company only provides you so much power to ring your phones. If you have too many devices, and that includes every single telephone,
right,
computer modem, fax printer, everything, there's not enough power on the lines to make the phone ring, so you end up with a lot of static. Also, if you have the length of phone wire you're using throughout your house, all
because don't
up.
Forget that's an antenna.
Yeah, you might want to get one of those multi plugs where you can put plug into the wall an adapter that you can maybe spawn off to, you know, split the line.
Oh, and so don't take my telephone next to my computer out of the printer. Take it out of a wall jack.
You got it
right.
Okay.
That'll probably save you a lot.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome. It's our pleasure. Thank you. Our next caller is Mark from Spencerport. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Always enjoy your program.
Thanks.
Matter of fact, my work takes me out of town every week, and yours is the only TV program, period, that I record every
Thank
week.
You. Appreciate
Thank you
so
that.
Much.
I just don't watch television except for your show.
Thank you.
And first-time listener on your WHAM program, by the way.
Thank you. And now you'll be able to get us out of town.
Yeah.
Because we're all over the place now.
That's
all
right.
Western New York and a lot of Canada.
That's
we
right.
are international.
Yes. Two quick questions. I've got a Dell 4 month old, 1.7 gig, 40 gig hard drive, 256 MEM. And I hear about all these cheap prices on memory, but
right.
this one has that expensive DDR memory.
Yeah. Well, that's really not too bad right now.
It's better.
Yeah, I mean,
prices are going up now, though.
Yeah, prices are going back up because of the holidays, but, you know, I mean, you look, it's all relative. You compare the prices of memory last year compared to this time,
True.
And the price per meg is dirt cheap.
Right. Is there any way around it? Do I have to buy the DDR?
Yes, you do.
You
Sorry.
Have to because of the sockets. I mean, you can't go out and buy DIMMs. The DIMMs won't fit in there.
Okay.
Sorry.
Second question is one thing that I like to do is I have a favorite website, and there's text on there that I'll grab a lot of times. I'll cut and paste it into Notepad to save really interesting tips that I like.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it for a long time, this computer and my last computer. Now, all of a sudden, when I go to paste it into Notepad, I get a message that says, not enough memory available to complete this operation. Quit one or more applications to increase available memory.
What antivirus software are you running?
Norton.
And it's
when was the last time you updated?
I update that thing. It has auto-update, plus I check it every once in a while.
So it's done it?
Mm. Yes.
What new stuff are you running in the background?
What, new
Yeah.
stuff? New program.
In other words, down in the taskbar, do you have a lot of little things there?
I keep that just about empty.
It sounds like something's
down
eating
there.
Up
there's
all
a
your memory.
Speaker and MSN, but those have been there all along.
Does this website, you've got 256 meg RAM, does this website have a lot of like Java or Flash or any of that stuff?
No, very little. It's pretty basic. And I've been downloading or cutting and pasting for a long time from that site.
Sounds like something, though, is hiding.
Yeah, something has changed. That's why we suggested a virus. But you're going to have to do some... What operating system are you running?
ME.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me going.
Don't get Dave going. Do not get Dave going.
I got my certificate yesterday from Dell for my upgrade to XP.
Okay, then I'll tell you what. Hold on to this problem until you get XP. I bet it goes away.
Yeah.
Okay.
that's your best solution.
And get
right
more
there.
Memory. With going from ME to XP, more memory, and with it still being relatively cheap, I would highly recommend.
Frankly,
it.
Another 256 meg won't hurt.
At least. Sounds good.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Thanks. Our next caller is Pete from Perry. Welcome, Pete.
Hey, glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
Last year, I hooked in those little eyeball cameras that fit on top of the monitor.
Sure.
And it didn't work, and the next thing, my scanner quit working. I got the little sign on my monitor telling me my twain is open. What the heck's a twain, and how do you shut it off?
term without any identifiable nomenclature.
Right. Twain is the driver that works both the camera and the scanner. It sounds like yours is either turned off or there's a problem. The best thing to do is to uninstall both the eyeball camera and the scanner, and then reboot your system, and it'll say, "Oh, I've got some new products," and reinstall them. That should fix the Twain drivers.
Help me, I'm a puppy with this business, so I don't know how to uninstall.
If you go to the control panel, and
select
add remove programs, that will remove the programs that run those devices.
Remove program.
Right.
Okay, which program do I remove?
Whatever programs you have that run those cameras. And the scanner. There are programs that you run that work them.
And if you got an HP scanner, you got to reload the software first and before hooking up the scanner.
Okay. Now let me.
Sorry. I hate to do this to you, Pete. I realize this is a longer answer than we have time for, and unfortunately we are out of time. I have to apologize to you and to everybody whose calls we didn't get to. This is Sound Bites, and we will be here on WHAM 1180 every Saturday from 12:20 to 2 p.m. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll see you next week.